everybody. Kim here with Jed.
Hi there.
And welcome to the Wide Awake International Podcast. This is a place where we share stories of bringing hope, love, and dignity to our friends with disabilities here in Ukraine. This is take two. We just did an amazing podcast.
It was really good.
So many good moments and so many funny jokes.
Little chortles.
We were just yucking it up around here, and then we realized our mic wasn't recording, so boo. Anyways, we promised you a couple weeks ago. We lied to you. We told you that we would give you an Advent podcast each week, not taking into account that we were going to be knee-deep in Thanksgiving cooking.
Elbow-deep in stuffing.
Green bean casserole. We have a tradition of making Thanksgiving for our team and our boys, and you know, everything has to be made from scratch, and I was just in that kitchen 24/7, except for the times that I was sleeping. Anyway, and there was a lot of electricity outages, and it was tricky, and us doing a podcast was just super unrealistic, not sure what we were thinking.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen.
So, we chose food over podcasting. But now we're just going to do a double header, and we're going to do two Advent week podcasts in one, and we'll try not to be too long-winded.
Yeah.
So, Jed, tell us, for the curious who aren't aware, what is Advent?
Yeah, so Advent is a season in the Christian calendar, 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, where we reflect on Christ who came and who will come again. And so it's the in-between time. It's the waiting. It's it's a time to pray and reflect and identify with those who waited for Christ to initially come, the Messiah to come, and for all of us waiting for a time of peace where Christ talks about his kingdom coming and his will being done. And his kingdom is a place where there's no suffering, there's no war, there's no sickness, there's no death. And so we long for that and we pray for that. And so each week we have a different theme of hope, peace, love, and joy. And we reflect on each of those. And so Kim's going to talk about hope, and then I'll share about peace today. But really, it's just standing in this place, crying out for God's kingdom to come, his will to be done, and how to actively wait and not just kind of wish.
Or just eat chocolates out of cute little Advent calendars. I mean, that's not a bad thing, but there's more to Advent than that.
Yeah. And right? Are they really ever as satisfying as you want them to be?
As a child, yes.
Yeah.
As an adult, definitely not.
No.
So hope. I looked up what is the actual definition of hope in the dictionary, and it says that hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And the verb to hope is to expect with confidence. We do a Advent Bible study with our kids every evening, and one night it was talking about optimism versus hope. Hadn't really thought about that before, but like optimism is to look on the bright side, to keep a good attitude, and choosing to see how circumstances could work out for the best. And I think a lot of times when we use the word hope, we're actually talking about optimism. Like, oh man, like I hope I get a good parking spot, or I hope that everything turns out okay. I hope you guys have fun.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Or man, I hope things, you know, I hope that gets better for you or whatever. We just kind of throw around the word hope, but we're actually like optimistic. And true hope, biblical hope, isn't based on circumstances. We hope. The only way that we can really have hope is because we have seen what God has done in the past, and we see what he's doing, and because of those things, we can trust, we can hope, like, that he will act in the future. So we trust his promises and his good character, and that is why we can hope.
Yeah.
Because of our experiences, or because of the experiences of others when they have told us things that God has done for them that can fill us with hope. Yeah, and yeah, so as I said, that we celebrated Thanksgiving with our team last week, and it was really the best. It was, I think, the best Thanksgiving celebration we've had here so far.
For sure.
Not only was our cooking on point.
Okay.
We get better every year.
My turkey was the best ever.
Well, nobody really likes turkey that much in general. It's just like you eat turkey because you should, but
we, I love turkey.
Well, I love the turkey that you've been making lately.
Wow.
Because, what about before? Sorry, Mom. No, I just think like, well, Jed cooked his our turkey. We don't buy whole turkeys here because they're super skinny. Like there's no butterball happening.
No.
But Jed was cooking turkey in our summer kitchen over the wood fire.
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
Yeah. Can we put a picture in the show notes? I like show notes.
Yeah, we'll put a picture up of that beautiful turkey. But yeah, it was, our cooking is getting better every year. We're really perfecting our recipes. But also,
my brine is.
Okay, enough. The turkey was good. Even if you're a turkey hater, I'll tell you this turkey's good. So anyway.
The nap after?
Oh my God.
I'm already hoping for next year. Or Christmas turkey.
I think you're optimistic.
Oh, well.
Anyways. But it was just really beautiful. We had 31 people total, just long lines of a long line of tables all down the middle of the duplex. And it just, okay, like I don't know if you guys know this, but food for our guys that came out of the institution is like a huge deal. It's one of the biggest triggers of trauma. It's one of their, it is their biggest insecurity probably because they were never fed enough. Feeding time was super traumatizing. They were always hungry. Just their food insecurities are next level. And so most holidays have a strong emphasis on food. Which I love. But my love for it has kind of dampened throughout the years of having our guys just because you want to have a special holiday with all these special foods, but you know they're just going to be stressed and it's going to make them, you know, have bad attitudes or get aggressive and just they're not going to enjoy the day because they're so hyper-focused on the food. It just kind of steals some of the joy. So then Thanksgiving is all about the food. Like, I don't care what you say. It's all about the food. And we don't have to deal with the football here because we're in Ukraine. Because I don't really like that. Anyway, that's just a personal preference. But
you can work that out with your brothers and
okay, this makes it sound like I'm not appreciating my family. My family really enjoys football, and that's fine. Dad, I love you so much. I just don't enjoy football. And so that's a part of Thanksgiving that I've never really been a fan of.
I like hearing it in the background as I pass into a tryptophan coma.
I don't mind. It is nostalgic to hear it in the background, but I'm kind of glad we don't have to like think about the game here because it's just not a thing. Food is the thing. And so it's always been stressful. We have to think about like, okay, where are we going to put the food? And it can't be within reach of the guys because they're going to steal it and they're going to grab it. And then as soon as everybody's done eating, we have to hide the food like right away so that they can actually enjoy the rest of their day and they're not stressing about food. So this year, our guys have come like such a long way. And this year we were getting out, you know, bringing all the food over the duplex and somebody said, where are we going to put the food? And I was like, you know what? We're going to put the food on the tables. I believe it. I believe it can happen. And we just laid out all the food. I mean, every square inch of that table was laden with a bounty of Thanksgiving goodness. There was so much food. And do you know what? Our guys, nobody stole food. I mean, Yadik did later in the evening, but that was after the celebration. But nobody stole food. Nobody hit anybody. They just ate. And then when the meal was done, the food stayed on the tables. And we all were able to go around and just recount things we were thankful for, how we had seen God move over this past year. And our guys were smiling and just enjoying being with people. And they weren't stressing about the food.
And Ruslan's prayer was really sweet.
Yeah, Ruslan always prays like, his prayers are always, we're like, Ruslan, what are you thankful for? And he just started to pray. And he always prays like, God be with us. You know, thank you for the food. God be with us. Thank you for the friends. And it was just, it was Yaroslav and Volva's first holiday with family. I was just looking around that room thinking a few months ago when we were in Germany, I didn't even imagine that we would all be together again. Yeah. We didn't even know if the duplex would still be standing.
Yeah.
And just to see how far our boys have come, how much they've grown, how safe and secure they feel.
Yeah.
Like our hope was strengthened because we saw that God has kept his promises. Everything he promised he was going to do, he's done and he is doing.
Yeah.
And that gives us hope for the future. Just looking at his character and the promises that he keeps. And so I just wanted to encourage you, if you are struggling with hope, I know there's a lot of people that just absolutely feel hopeless in their lives. If you can, to just pause and just try to remember, think about something that God has done for you or someone that you love, some small way he has provided for you. It doesn't have to be something massive. And let that remembrance give you hope for the future, that God is a good God and he will fulfill the promises that he makes to his people. And our hope is not built on circumstances. It's built on the character of the God that we serve. So that's my spiel on hope. And just have to say again, Mom and Dad, I love you. I miss you on Thanksgiving.
All right. So I'm going to share a little bit about peace. And, you know, to think about peace in this time being in a country that's being attacked and at war, it's hard to think about peace in some levels, but it's definitely a present thought. And so the circumstance of Jesus' birth when he came, there were people under occupation as well. And if we're going to follow his example, to move into the place of conflict and ask for God's kingdom to come, as he taught his disciples, to pray for peace. And yet he's called the Prince of Peace. But so many wars, so many scandals in the church. It's always a mixed bag when we think about the church or the history of people trying to follow Christ. You know, how do we restore our world to wholeness, to peace, when people are seeking to control others or to win at all cost? And, you know, the church has done so much good in our history. And when we think about our best, it's when the church and followers of Christ have been the presence of Christ's love wherever there's an absence. So in the early centuries, the church was a safe haven. People would look for a steeple as they come into a town. A weary traveler knew they'd find a place of safety, of peace, maybe a warm meal. And then later on, where there was an absence of health care, the churches, you know, they developed the modern medicine as it is now and medical care. And when there was an absence of education in North America, churches started what is our modern education system now. And even for us personally, there's an absence of dignity and justice for people with disabilities right here. And so we work and we try to find our way to make wrong things right, this brokenness in our society whole again, at least in this area for the rights of people with disabilities. You know, at our worst, people of faith or people from church or whatever, we've tried to use position of power to demand peace for the Prince of Peace. And we usually end up starting wars and breaking apart society and running amok with the words of Christ. And so it's been a mixed bag, I'll say that. But Christ is our example, and he didn't use power, but he invited us to stand in spaces of conflict, not with picket signs or pithy social media posts, but to stand in the place of pain and conflict and pray for peace and wash the feet of those around us, even those who may betray us. Peace is subversive to power. And so this week of Advent, we pray for peace. We work for peace. We stand in the places of conflict and cry out for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done here as it is in heaven. So we hope this week, as you reflect on peace, that that you find peace and that you be a peacemaker and that you find ways to serve others around you and stand in this place and cry out for his kingdom to come, his will to be done.
Yeah. So next week, we are planning to bring you an episode on love, the next theme of Advent, and we hope to be able to interview some special guests.
Oh, yeah.
If we're not elbow deep in eggnog.
Or knee deep in figgy pudding.
I mean, I'm not gonna make a promise, but we're gonna shoot for an episode on love next week. So stay tuned. Yep. Have a great week. Consider what the God of Hope has done for you in the past and what he's doing now. And that'll give you some hope for the future. So have a great week, and I hope with optimism that we'll see you next time. That was lame. Bye.
Bye. A thought.